Hello, it's Wednesday, May 28th, 2008. I'm Errol Pepcorn, and this is Hear It Now on Prairie Public. The 22nd annual Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering was held this past Saturday and Sunday over Memorial Day weekend at the Community Center in downtown Medora. This event attracts participants and spectators from North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, Wyoming, and beyond. It's a celebration of the Western way of life, and we're bringing you a taste of it today. The poetry gathering was placed in the Library of Congress's Local Legacy Project as an event important in representing, preserving, and passing along a way of life unique to our state. We'll be spending most of the day today with people I interviewed this past Saturday and Sunday of Memorial Day weekend at the Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Medora. This great event, founded and hosted by Sentinel Butte rancher and cowboy poet himself, Bill Lohman, is in its 22nd year. And it draws participants and spectators from several states. City dwellers and rural folks alike come to enjoy the poetry and Western music of the gathering. Now, later on today, we'll meet cowgirl poet Rhonda Sedgwick-Stearns. We'll meet young songwriter Chris Sand. And we'll learn all about the Big Hat Society, as well as enjoy some music from the radio stars. But right now, let's meet one of the night show entertainers appearing at the Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering for the first time. She's better known as V to the crowd here at the Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering. Thanks for taking a few minutes to visit with us and introduce yourself to our Prairie Public Radio audience.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here and my first radio interview. So,
ooh, how exciting. Mine too. This should be pretty exciting. You are here. You live currently on a ranch in Wyoming, correct?
That's right. Yeah, I live north of Pinedale, Wyoming in the Rocky Mountains. Sort of the unique thing about this place, this ranch, is that it, you know, has always been powered with teams, with horsepower, and putting up the hay and dragging meadows and logging, and all of that is done with teams. And he never had a tractor. He tried electricity a little bit with a light plant, but that burned up. And so he really never plumbed the place or never electrified the place. And it still exists like that today. And so I'm just sort of trying to maintain this little piece of history, but it's currently for sale and probably will change one day. But for now, I'm just sort of living back in the early 1900s.
Now, you are originally from New York. Now, not New York City, but rather upstate New York. How did you find your way west then to wind up in this position caretaking this beautiful ranch in Wyoming?
Well, I was doing quite a bit of traveling, and I guess the it started out, I was on the Greyhound bus fairly often traveling through Wyoming and was sort of taken by the color of the sky. I was always coming through it at dawn and dusk. So I thought someday I'd check out Wyoming. And then I ended up getting a job at a dude ranch just over the hill from where I'm at now, about 10 miles away. And it's all in the National Forest. So I went to work at that dude ranch in 95 and then just made it over the hill. And I haven't made it back to the pavement yet.
What was it that led to your traveling around at the time? Just kind of a carefree spirit, or what were you doing?
Yeah, sort of in the light of Kerouacian enterprises or something, I guess. But just wanted to see America, meet the people. Yeah, just sort of see what was in my backyard, I guess.
Well, what about this interest then in the West and horses and in music? And by the way, V is going to be doing a tune for us here on an instrument she made by herself. But where does all that interest come from, in the music and the Western way of life?
I guess I've always been interested in sort of a, I guess I'd say minimalistic living. So I've lived in caves and abandoned houses. And
oh, that's fairly minimal.
So that was probably the main allure. And then the West, of course, just the landscape and the Spartan population, I guess. But my dad sang and sort of introduced me to a lot of the old cowboy songs and just music as a way of life. And I've always been horse crazy, so that was sort of a fit when I came out to Wyoming. And I don't know, I guess I you know, growing up in New York, or getting bigger in New York, as I say, never really knew that cowboys existed.
And you never knew that people had to grow up either then.
No, I'm still trying to deny that part.
That's fine. I'll go along with that. So when we think of the fact that even though you're not from New York City, that you are from the state of New York, is there something of a rural lifestyle there?
There is. There's a lot of farming, a lot of agriculture there. Some open spaces, you know, it's definitely been fairly divided up, but it's a sort of a pastoral environment and a lot of beauty. And I think one of the better kept secrets of the country is upstate New York.
Yeah, well, how do you do that? I mean, I know you just said a few minutes ago that you enjoy that sort of minimalistic and isolated lifestyle, but it's different. What is it about it that appeals to you?
It affords me a lot of time to work on things that are important to me.
Like what?
Well, like my music, mm-hmm. and I'm working on a book right now. I guess I'm alone with my thoughts a lot, and that's been important to me to sort of try to figure things out, although I find myself right now maybe ready to come back into society a little more.
Maybe that's why you're here at the Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering. Very popular, by the way. People just love her.
Oh, well, it's been a real treat to be here. And
however, it wouldn't be bad for all of us probably to work on being a little bit more comfortable with ourselves and our own thoughts, too, and you've obviously been spending some time at that.
I have, and, you know, it can work both ways. You can get into a downward spiral and really fall into a deep pit. But the highs are high, and mm-hmm. I've always sort of enjoyed the challenge of trying to do for myself, I guess. Somebody called me a Renaissance woman, and I guess, I've always been more long on time and short on money, so it causes me to try to figure things, how to fix things and make things rather than go buy them, and that all sort of suits the minimalistic lifestyle that I've always been intrigued with.
Well, now I can relate to that. that long on time and short on money thing. If you dwell on that too long, that can be depressing, no matter if you're living alone, in a crowd, wherever. Tell us a little bit about your music and how you write it and what you write about up there, and then we'll have you do one of your tunes.
Well, I seem to be writing songs with a lot of words in them, or that's been my MO up till now. And I guess I just... I'm sort of, I suppose, a range balladeer. Like, I like to tell stories about things that have happened to me and also about people that I've met that I just feel like are slipping through the cracks of history and so precious and need to sort of be captured. So I like the idea of music for that. And I just sort of like the idea of bringing myself and the listeners back to a simpler time. Everything is speeding up, as we know, and I think it's important to sort of take a step back and take a deep breath and sing Home on the Range once in a while.
You may be the perfect poster girl for this Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering, because that's what it's all about. The cowboy poetry is oral tradition, and this is what you're doing. You're honoring those people that you just mentioned and their lifestyle and that tradition, which is, there's no doubt about it, it is passing.
It is passing. It's sort of we're witnessing now the last of a dying breed. And last night I was talking to a young fellow, and he was talking about, you know, he just bought into his first little herd of cattle. And it was so refreshing to hear that, because usually the kids are leaving, you know, and not buying into this lifestyle. So it reminds me that it has some staying power. But I feel like without actively trying to preserve it, you know, we're sort of risking losing it. And, you know, you see horses going to four-wheelers and dog sleds and skis going to snow machines. And I don't know, I feel lucky to live now and when I'm still witnessing some of the old ways.
Oh, kind of a throwback girl here. Reach back there and get that banjo and let's talk about that a little bit. V, first of all, describe this instrument, which you made by yourself.
Well, I call this the plank banjo, and I made it back in my traveling days. I was hitchhiking in an effort to sort of meet the people or whatever. Yeah,
something to do while you're waiting on the side of the road. Now, that's how I learned how to play harmonica, V, was, as a matter of fact, I was hitchhiking around the country and had a harmonica in my pocket and actually learned how to play it. So you, on the other hand, were making banjos on the side of the road while you're waiting for a ride.
Well, in all reality, you had the better idea, because I started making these to have a lighter weight instrument, and all I needed to do was go buy a harmonica.
Well, next time around.
Next time for
but this is a very unique banjo. She made it herself. It sounds terrific. Describe it.
Well, it's made out of a pine plank, and I laminate it together and make the the pot out of a coffee can and a deer hide that I made the rawhide when I was living in the abandoned house in upstate New York. And so I just, I guess in efforts to make a lightweight instrument, I just started messing around. Somebody gave me the idea to laminate two boards together and to use the coffee can, and I just sort of took it from there. And yeah, they've come a long ways, although the basic style is the same as the first one. But when I started making it, I had no idea it was going to work out. It was just another harebrained project, and every step that I took worked enough to keep me going. And then when I finished, it actually made a sound, so it sort of is like the carrot dangling in front of my face that I kept moving along.
Got to make another one.
Yeah.
Well, do a song for us.
Well, I guess I'll do the song I did last night. This is a song about the first cutting I got off of my hay meadow. And I wrote this. It's on my Range Rider CD. Okay. It's been about a month since the meadows went bare, and I packed away my long-handled underwear. Grabbed myself a bucket on a sunny afternoon, and the people driving by are all wondering what I'm doing. They see me doubled over in a cotton picker's pose, got flowers in my fingers and grass between my toes. But these little yeller weeds, or so I've been told, will make you up some moonshine worth its weight in gold. It's the time for dandelion wine. I take all the petals and I put them in a pot. I fetch me up some water while the stoves are getting hot. Boil up a potion, set it off to steep in a sunny window where I stir it for a week. The brew begins to bubble as the yeast begins to work. It's eating flowers for all that they're worth. Then long about the time that the yeast begins to fall, the whole room smells a bit like alcohol. And it's time for dandelion wine. It's a tooth of the lion, it's a nectar of the gods, it's a hair of the dog and a dram of the grog. It'll sneak up behind you with a devilish grin, take you out of Kansas and bring you back again. I put all the potion in some 5-gallon bats and I seal them up tight with some funny little hats. Long about the time that the snow begins to fly, I got a couple batches both sweet and dry. Corks are mashed in and the bottles are bound and stored away safe in a hole in the ground. As the snow's piling up and the road's closing up, we all get to feeling just a little bit dry. Is it time for dandelion wine? Well, lots of folks say wine should age for a year, but that wine don't seem to last so long around here, 'cause the winters are long and the town's far away, but the hole in the ground is open every night and day. There's many a night when the snowbound few will get tuned up with a little Mountain Dew, and the harp and the banjo and guitar sing out, well, the lion's in the chorus and there isn't any doubt. It's time for dandelion wine. Well, the stoves are warm, but the nights are cold. The skiing's still good, but the feeding's getting old. The drifts are melting and the hills are getting green. The creek's flowing good, but the wine's running lean. Then just about the time that I think I run dry, I go out in the meadow and I face it with a smile. 'Cause there where I'm standing and the water's running cold, I'm alone in all my glory amidst a field of gold. And it's a time for dandelion wine. It's a tooth of the lion, it's a nectar of the gods, it's a hair of the dog and a dram of the grog. It'll sneak up behind you with a devilish grin, take you out of Kansas and bring you back again.